You're listening to Financial Insights, a podcast that helps investors through the difficult maze of financial planning and saving for retirement. I'm Brian Ullman, and I'm a financial advisor and certified financial planner at Ford Financial Group. And together with some guests and other advisors at my firm, we're talking about the issues and questions relating to finance that face our clients every day. All right, we're dropping the Good Friday edition of the Financial Insights podcast. Most people don't realize that markets are closed on Good Friday. And I'll get into a little bit of why in a second, but it's a short trading week. And as we get through Thursday here, it's starting to look, if everything kind of stays the same for the next few hours, NASDAQ, Dow, S&P 500, major indices, you could call them, are all going to finish positive on the week again. And this is coming off of a first quarter that was a little bit different. We got into it a little bit before, but in the first quarter, growth really dominated value. The tech side of your portfolio, more likely than not, was doing better than the dividend paying side, the value side, however you want to measure the value side. You know, growth or tech had a nearly 30% decline last year, and really technology has come storming back here in 2023. But we are not going to get into that right now. We're going to talk a little bit about financial planning, because you are probably listening to this after Easter. Markets are, still in purgatory. You know, we haven't gotten the big flush to get to that capitulation level, but markets haven't been resilient enough to convince anybody, maybe even the Federal Reserve, that we're in the clear. So we're left waiting. So we're going to, while we wait, talk a little bit about some financial planning stuff, specifically Roth conversions. But first, I'm going to get back to why the stock market is closed on Good Friday, because it's pretty obvious that the stock market is closed on federal holidays like Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's Day. The decision to close the market on Good Friday is actually based on historical kind of and cultural significances that you could say were taking place in the 19th century, which is recently, but also a long time ago. So you know Good Friday, it's a Christian holiday, commemorates the crucifixion of Christ and is observed as a public holiday in many countries, including here in the U.S. for some. I think banks are open still, but markets are closed. But closing the stock market on Good Friday is also a tradition that dates back to the early days of the New York Stock Exchange. So in the 19th century, many stockbrokers on Wall Street were devout Christians, and they requested that the stock market be closed on Good Friday out of respect for the holiday, right? Well, the tradition actually continues to this day, and so the stock market, because of that, remains closed on Good Friday as a sign of respect and recognition of this important Christian holiday, even though I don't think Good Friday is a federal holiday. Mail's getting delivered, I believe. I know banks are open. It's one of the very few holidays where it's actually a trading holiday, but not a banking holiday, you could say. So anyway, that's kind of the background on Good Friday. And maybe you knew, maybe you kind of suspected that it's more tradition than anything as to why markets are observing Good Friday. But they're closed. It's a four-day trading week, and most people are looking forward to the Easter weekend. I know a lot of people. It's really weird that we have kind of this spring break, whether you have kids on spring break this week or last week or next week. It's this weird time where we have this Easter coinciding with a tax time and the tax filing deadline. It's just kind of a strange period. But let's take a step away from markets for the moment and look at IRAs and look at individual, more specifically Roth IRAs, because most people know what a traditional IRA is. You take money and you put it into this special account. And the money that you put in there, subject to some limitation and some rules, is deferred from taxes. So if you were at let's say a 20%, there's no 22% tax bracket, but you're at a 20% tax bracket and you put $100 in, instead of paying $20 of taxes on that $100 that you put into the traditional IRA, you would put all $100 in, and that $100 wouldn't count towards your income for the year. Therefore, you would save that 20% in taxes. So individual retirement accounts, or IRAs, provide individuals with an opportunity to save for retirement on a tax advantage basis. A little bit different from the employer sponsored plans, right? So IRA, individual plan, well, that 401k stuff we'll save for another time. Those are employer sponsored plans. And so the traditional IRAs allow contributions to be made on a pre-tax basis, meaning the contributions are tax deductible in the year that they're made. But distributions from traditional IRAs are subject to income tax when you make that withdrawal in retirement. So that money that you saved, you actually, on taxes, you actually deferred. So maybe you put it in when you're in the 20% tax bracket, but now you're taking the money out when you're at the 10% tax bracket. You've saved the difference on the tax you would have paid versus the tax you are paying on the withdrawal. Now, on the other hand, Roth IRAs allow contributions to be made on an after-tax basis. That means that contributions are not tax deductible in the year that they're made, but distributions from Roth IRAs are tax-free in retirement, including money that you take out in the growth. I probably said this on this podcast before, but one of my favorite accountants in town has said he loves Roth IRAs because you pay the tax on the seed, not on the harvest, which is a good way of looking at it. Now, it doesn't always make sense from a tax perspective, but still, if you have a Roth IRA when you are at a lower tax bracket, it's a great way to go. So we're going to talk a little bit more about when is the right time to convert to do a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA. And the real question then becomes, if I have a traditional IRA, should I convert some of that to a Roth IRA? Conversions are questions we get often. And quite honestly, it doesn't make as much sense. I feel like sometimes Roth conversions are like a marketing tool for financial advisors because they can be powerful. And we'll talk about the factors to consider when converting from a traditional to a Roth IRA. But if you usually people considering Roth IRA conversions are still at their peak of their earnings and would have to pay maximum taxes on their withdrawals from their IRAs to put it into a Roth IRA. And it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So let's get into kind of what some of the factors are here when we were considering converting traditional Roth traditional IRAs into Roth IRAs and what the timing is like. And so the first and probably one of the most important factors to consider when converting from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA is tax rates. People who are currently in a lower tax bracket than they expect to be in during retirement may want to consider moving to or converting to a Roth IRA now. And that's because people pay taxes on the amount of the conversion in the year that it's made. So if a person expects to be in a higher tax bracket in retirement, which is uncommon, but if you expect to be in a higher tax bracket in retirement, you'll end up paying more taxes on the conversion amount later than you would pay now. And so as a result, it makes sense to convert a Roth IRA now and pay those taxes at a lower rate. Another thing to consider is future income. We have to consider this factor because if a person expects to have a significantly higher income in the future, you may want to consider converting to a Roth now when your income is lower. And that's because distributions from traditional IRAs are taxed as ordinary income in the year that they're taken. So if you expect a higher income in retirement, this kind of falls in line with the previous one of being in a higher tax bracket. So if you expect a higher income in a retirement, and therefore a higher tax bracket, you may end up paying more taxes on the traditional IRA distributions than you'd pay on a Roth IRA when you make the conversion. So again, and that scenario, it would make sense to convert to a Roth IRA now, pay taxes on the conversion because you're at that lower tax rate because your income levels are lower. Also, retirement goals are an important factor to consider when you're thinking about converting from traditional to a Roth IRA. If a person expects to have a high level of retirement income, so this is kind of piggybacking off of this last point, you could consider moving to a Roth IRA now. It's because distributions from traditional IRAs are subject to required minimum distributions once you get into your early 70s, and RMDs can push people into a higher tax bracket in retirement, which could result in higher taxes on traditional IRA distributions, maybe higher taxes on pensions if you're receiving them, things like that. So Roth IRAs don't have required minimum distributions or RMDs. And so that means that people can control a little bit better their tax liability in retirement by choosing when and how much they need to withdraw. So it could make sense to convert to a Roth IRA now to help reduce or even perhaps avoid required minimum distributions and therefore higher potential taxes in retirement. Now, the kicker to all of this is the last point, and that's your available funds, because your available funds are critical when considering whether to do a conversion. Because when you convert from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, you have to pay taxes on the amount of the conversion the year it's made. I think I mentioned that already. So if you don't have enough available funds outside of your IRA to pay the taxes that are due on the conversion, you might want to consider waiting until you have the funds available. Think about this. If you are converting, let's say, $50,000 or $100,000 from your traditional IRA to your Roth IRA, you can make that conversion, but now your income for the year is $100,000 more than it was, than it would have been had you not done the conversion. Okay, great. But now you are probably at a higher tax bracket. You owe federal and probably state taxes on the because of the conversion from traditional Roth, and that could be a tax bill, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. How are you going to pay that tax bill? Are you going to pay it out of your IRA? Well, now you've just moved over $50,000 instead of $100,000 because you're taking half of it out to pay taxes. That's going to take you twice as long. The math probably won't even work out if you are using your IRA to pay the tax bill for the Roth conversion from your IRA. So you need money in savings. And so if you're converting $100,000 and you have $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 in savings that you want to use to write that check to Uncle Sam, then the Roth conversion could make sense. In practice here, I think, you know, oftentimes what we see is people, if there's a spread, let's say they're $10,000 away from the next highest tax bracket, maybe they just convert a little bit of their IRA to a Roth. And so down the road, they're reducing some of their RMDs a little bit in retirement. But it's such a rare case that I see a big, massive chunk of a traditional IRA move to a Roth and someone just like eats that huge tax bill when the tax time rolls around. It's pretty uncommon. So Roths are great. I do not want to disparage Roth IRAs. I love them and they're fantastic for younger workers at low tax brackets. They're great for people who maybe have semi-retired and are low tax brackets and still want to save for retirement. But if you're in your peak earning years and you have a big traditional IRA, you've got to do the math and crunch the numbers with your advisor, but I would say, man, you really need to look at the numbers because it may not work out the way that you're thinking. So the timing of the conversion is important. You got to think about tax rates, future income, your retirement goals, your available funds, all of those things. If you have questions about Roth IRA conversions, email us at info@fordfg.com. You can find us on the website at fordfg.com. We sometimes will address this in our monthly newsletters, our financial planning newsletters. So if you'd like to sign up for one for our monthly newsletter, you can do that just by emailing us. You can email us at info@fordfg.com, or you can just send us a message through the website. Either way, we'll make sure you're on the list so that way you're getting some of these financial planning updates in your inbox. So I hope you have a happy Easter weekend. I hope you had an happy Easter weekend if you're listening to this after Easter. Spring is in full effect. Markets are still in wait-and-see mode, as are we. So maybe we'll have some more clarity next week. Until then, I'll talk to you in the next one.
The advisors with Ford Financial Group are registered representatives with, and securities are offered through, LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice is offered through Perennial Investment Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Ford Financial Group and Perennial Investment Advisors are separate entities from LPL. The opinions voiced in this material are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance referenced is historical and is no guarantee of future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. Stock investing involves risk, including loss of principal. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. The economic forecasts set forth in this podcast may not develop as predicted. Ford Financial Group, Perennial Investment Advisors, and LPL Financial do not provide tax or legal advice or services. This information is not intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security referred to herein.